Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah, family of God, and welcome to the Restoration Center of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. God bless you for being here today, and God bless you for being a part of today's service. A special welcome to all those who are joining us online from all across the world. You are an important part of what God is doing with us, and we thank you for joining in today's service. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this morning I saw a post that one of my old school mates put up on our platform, and the quote said that today all I want to do is to thank God for the gift of life. Then he went on and said, no complaints, no requests. I just want to say thank you, God, for giving me life. Hallelujah. And I thought that it was a very cute thing, because sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in our issues. We always have one thing or the other that we are asking God for, that we fail to recognize that if he doesn't do anything else for us, he has already done enough. Today is the first day of the ninth month of the year 2024. Hallelujah. And there's so much to be grateful and thankful to God for. And this morning, wherever you are, would you mind lifting your hands to the Lord and saying, thank you, Father, for how far you brought me in the course of the year. Thank you for blessing and keeping me and sustaining me all this while. You started off with me, and thus far have you brought me. Say, thank you, Father, for the gift of life. Thank you for keeping and preserving me. Thank you for watching over me and all my loved ones. Thank you for sustaining me. Thank you, Father, for being there for me through the thick and the thin. Thank you, Father, that you never left me and you never forsook me. Thank you for Jesus and all that he is in my life. Thank you for loving me so deeply and intensely. And thank you for all the goodness and the mercies that have followed me throughout the year. Your name be praised forevermore. You've been so good to me. You've been so merciful to me. You've been so kind to me. And I want to take a little time this morning to say thank you. I bless and praise your name forevermore. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve the praise. I exalt you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we are thankful to you for all that you do in our lives and for all that you are to us. And this morning, we prepare our hearts to receive your word once again. Speak, Master, for your servants are listening. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Give us insight. I pray, let the most simple amongst us understand clearly what your spirit is saying to us this day. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as you send forth your word to heal your people, may we experience healing in our lives, in every area where there is a defect, where there is a failure, where there is a shortcoming. We glorify you today in Jesus' mighty name. Let the people of God say amen. And put your hands together for Jesus as you take your seats. Turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to St. John. John chapter 2. And we want to read from verse 13 to 17. For 3 weeks now, I have been sharing with you on the subject, passion for God. You're too loud, man. And his house. Passion for God and his house. And we've had three lessons in the series. By the grace of God, I want to bring it to a close today. And so this is part four of passion for God and his house. Senebeya yebenya ope kesie ana ope srunkubi ama ye nyankopon eni nifie eni bibia efa ne ho. Hallelujah. John chapter 2 verse 13 to 17. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. It was a very serious thing, but it must also have been quite funny. I mean, I can't imagine that Jesus is holding a whip and he's chasing people in the temple and people are running and obimbo, obimbro, bodamphobia, banyamifie, hao, kind of thing. Very funny. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor and turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. Lift up your right hand and say, passion for God's house will consume me. So help me, God. Then turn to John chapter 4, verse 34. John 4, 34. And this time I'm reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible. John 4, 34. It says, Jesus said to them, "My food," which means nourishment, "is to do the will," which means the pleasure, "of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Now, I have done my best to explain to you what passion is. And I've explained to you that passion is a strong and extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, and desire for somebody, for something, or for a cause. So you like somebody, you like something. You are excited about somebody, you are excited about something. You have a desire for somebody, or you have a desire for something. But it is not an ordinary desire. It's not an ordinary excitement. It is not an ordinary liking. It is a strong and extravagant one. Whenever you have this, we say that you have passion. Somebody say passion. And we see with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that that is what he had for his Father. He had passion for the house of God. He had passion for the things of God. He had passion for the people of God. He had passion for the work of God. If we really are serious about becoming more like Jesus, then in this area of our lives too, there is a need for us to develop passion. This, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the challenges with a lot of us Christians and believers. There is something that is missing from our relationship with God and our service to him. And what is missing is that we seem to go through the motions, but without that thing called passion. And because of that, there is a certain level that we don't get to in our relationship with God and in our service to Him. Because anything that you do and you are not passionate about it, you are likely to give up and to quit along the line. Now, I have explained to you, and I did so last week, why passion is important. I said to you that passion is like the fuel that drives and motivates you in anything you set out to achieve. Without it, you will give up. So if you look at anybody who has achieved anything great in this life, and you examine that person's life closely, you will discover that that person has passion for what he or she was doing. Can I have an amen from somebody? And I gave you this example of Jacob, how he worked for 14 years in order to have the love of his wife, Rachel or Rahel. Then I explained also to you that passion is important because it gives you direction and a sense of purpose. When you're passionate about something, it will direct you. So those who are passionate about politics are directed, and they seem to have a certain direction for everything that they are doing. Anybody who is passionate about his business, his work, you discover about that person that there seems to be a certain focus, direction, and sense of purpose to the person's life. Which means that where passion is missing, often there is no direction and there is no purpose. Ask the person sitting by you, do you have direction for your life? And do you have a sense of purpose? Tell the person, then you have passion. Hallelujah. Number three, passion, I explained to you, is infectious. Because it can inspire others to believe in you. Number four, relationships thrive better where there is a good level of passion attached. Number five, passion can lead to personal fulfillment, happiness, and satisfaction. So these are reasons why passion is very, very important in this life. Enti nya ye pese ye nyina ye beti ase eni eyi se se wo wo opɛ bi ema wo nyankopon wo wo opɛ sronko bi ema nyame fie eni nyame enuama eni nyame inyuma na ne ete ne se sa opɛ sronko no ebe boa wo se ne ebe ya wo be sum wo nyame yie. Na bibia wo ya mane no so obeye no ewo kwan pa so. Esan se ade a ye ya ene se obi eye bibia ma wo. Na oni akro ade a oyen opabi embata ho. Na nyame adom enti ye wura empempensu obi ewo ya bra bo mu a ye nyame a ye som no no ye di opekese e na ye di besom no. Na djuma ye ye no so ye di opekese e na ebeye. Hallelujah. Now, we want to move on and now talk about the signs of our passion for God and His house. And we are bringing the series to a close with this one. Signs of our passion for God and His house. Enyama echrese yewo ope kesie ema nyame eninifie. Anase yewo atenkasurunkubi ema nyame eninifie. The first one I want to talk about is that when you are passionate for God, for the house of God, and for the things of God, you love God intensely and deeply. You love God intensely and deeply. The first sign that I want to touch on, that you have passion for God and you have passion for His house, is that you love God intensely and deeply. Because there are different levels of love. There is love that is very much on the surface, superficial, but it is not deep. It is not intense. Such love has no passion attached to it. And it is possible to be married to somebody and love the person, but without passion. But the sign that there is passion is where the love is deep and when the love is intense. And it is seen not only by what you say, but it is seen also by what you do. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and we want to read from verse 25. Luke 10, reading from verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." Hallelujah. Now Jesus was explaining what the greatest commandment is, and he said the greatest is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength, and with all our mind. And if you want to summarize that, it means we should love him, say that, passionately, passionately, which means intensely, which means deeply. So the question is this: how much do we love him? How much do we love our Savior? Is it with every fiber of our being? Is it with all our hearts? Is it with all our souls? Is it with all our strength? And is it with all our minds? So as you can see, loving God the way he ought to be loved requires that we love him with all these different dimensions of our lives. With your heart. Because you can love somebody, but it is not from here. With your soul. Your soul is the seat of your will, your emotions, your intellect. That's what your soul is. And if you love God with all your soul, it means that your feelings for him are extreme. Extreme. Because you can tell when somebody loves you extremely and when somebody loves you casually. It's so easy to tell. That is why if somebody comes to you and says that I love you, but you don't feel any emotion attached to it, it's a matter of fact statement. I love you. I love you. I mean, can you imagine that somebody has come to propose to you? Praise the Lord, sister. Today I'm here on a very important assignment and I want to give me your ears. I've come today to tell you that I love you and I'll spend the rest of my life with you. That's why I've come. What will you do to such a person? What did you say you would do to the person? You can easily slap the person. You can easily ask the person to walk out. Because what manner of love is this? Feelings being him, emotions being him, very blunt proposal. It cannot work. And your future is uncertain with such a fellow. Because love, it has issues. And as you are starting off, you cannot see any feelings and emotions attached to it. So then we ask ourselves that in our claim to love God, is it with all our hearts? Is it with all our souls? Then it talks about with all our strength. And Jesus said, what do you mean? Now, what do you want? Who do you mean? Strength. Or is it that in loving him, you hold back? You're laid back. So when you are praying, there's no strength. When you are worshiping, there's no strength. When you are praising him, there's no strength. And if the praise leader makes the mistake to say that dance with all your strength, dance with all your strength in the Lord, you can easily insult him. But you see, the things that you are really passionate about, you do it with strength. Is that not so? So every one of you, ask yourself, what do I really like? What really turns me on? What thrills me in my life? Look for that thing. And then examine yourself closely. You will discover that where that thing is concerned, where that area is concerned, there's a lot of strength and energy that you put into it. Tell the person sitting by you, love God with energy, energy, energy. Then he said, love him with all your mind. That means you must think about him. You are in a relationship with somebody, he never calls you. When you ask, he says, I forgot. And I'm wondering why you are still with him. You haven't married a person. But a whole week will pass by. She won't call you. He won't call you. And when you ask about it, she says, oh, now my busy. Me way free. Asasye nimponye. The time when the thing is supposed to be fiery and vibrant, he never remembers your birthday. He never remembers the anniversaries. And a lot of us men are guilty of that. Frank, does he remember anniversaries? Elviso Pastor L, Almighty Miracle, I'm proud of you. Namu monse me ma nyamini pano. Ask your friend whether he remember. You trained him. You taught him how to remember anniversaries. Pastor James is calling for a hand clap also. Clap for him some. How can you say you love somebody and you don't think about the person? Because if we love him, thoughts of him will always be on our mind. I'm sharing with you about the signs of passion. And the first one, passion for God and his house. The first one is what? What did I just share with you? That will love God intensely and deeply. The second one, and it's related to loving him. The second one is that we spend time with him and we wait on him. We spend time with him and wait on him. If we have passion for God, we will spend time with him and we will wait on him. Because if you claim to love somebody, you make time for the person. And you do so through prayer, through meditating on his word, and even through thinking about him. That's how you spend time with somebody. That's how you wait on the person. Luke chapter 5 verse 16. Luke 5 16. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. How often did he used to do that? How many times did he used to do that? Often. That means many times. And I can say this for certainty, that anything that you're doing, and you do it over and over and over again and many times, one of the reasons can be that you are passionate about that thing. Of course, you can do things as a matter of routine. Like maybe you go to work all the time, but you don't like the work. That's different. But often you will discover that anything that you keep doing and you want to do it and you are happy to do it and you pump in a lot of time doing it, it's a sign of your passion for that thing. And Jesus Christ was passionate about his Father and his relationship with him. And that is why he often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Now, the wilderness is a frightening place. Very dangerous place also. There are snakes and scorpions and spiders and all kinds of funny creatures there. And in other places, we read about how he spent all night with the Father. And he was driven by passion, not just out of a sense of duty. Can I have an amen? Psalms 25 verse 5. Psalms 25 verse 5. Remember that we are talking about signs of having passion for God and his house. The first one I've shared with you is if we have passion for God and his house, we will love him intensely and deeply. Number two, if we have passion for God and his house, we will spend time with him and wait on him. And how do we wait on him? Through prayer, meditating on his word, Bible study, and even thinking about him. So in Psalms 25 verse 5, New King James Version, it says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Without passion, you cannot wait on God extensively. He says, "I waited all the day." Isaiah 26 verse 3, New King James Version again. It says, "You will keep him," Isaiah 26 verse 3, "you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." Whose mind is what? Say it again. Whose mind is what? Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. His mind is stayed on you. A chese who will not jinimu. Or jinewohu. Or jinewohu. So whoever you are passionate about, you think about the person. Whatever you are passionate about, you think about that thing. Whatever cause you are passionate about, your mind is always on it. Always, always, because it is your passion. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Psalms 1 verse 1 to 2. It says, "All the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." Tell your neighbor, don't follow bad people. It continues and says, "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." The law of the Lord, that is the word of God. And the Bible says that there are some people who are blessed. And these people, one of the things you see about them is that they meditate on God's word. They read on it, they think about it, they ruminate the word of God, and they do it day and night. If we say we are passionate about God, then one of the things that we should do, and that should be obvious in our lives, is the time we spend with his word. Reading it, studying it, meditating on it. Not just some casual, quiet time. You just flip it and say, "Okay, today what did Pastor James put up on the page? That is our scripture for the day." And he looked at it. He said, "What Genesis 47 verse 1 to 31? Blah 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 blah. Jacob died. Blah 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 blah. Jacob and his children came to Egypt. Blah 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 blah. And when Jacob was about to die, he said to his son that, 'Make sure that you carry my bones to where my ancestors are buried.'" Okay, that's what the Bible says. Okay, okay. We thank God. We are blessed. What is the other one? Numbers 23. What do you say? It says something about some Balaam and Balak and cursing and all of those other things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about consciously, deliberately, and intentionally reading the word of God and thinking about it, analyzing it, trying to pick lessons from it. And that many of us as Christians, we don't do. So the quiet time and the study of God's word is just out of a sense of duty only, and not because there is passion for God. And you want to know him more. You want to be closer to him. Psalm 3 verse 6. Psalm 63 verse 6. It says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. I'm lying on my bed. I should be asleep, but I'm not asleep. What am I doing? I am thinking about you. It takes passion to do that. And I'll be casting me down and nah. I'm trying to sleep, but I can't sleep. And the reason is not because I've drunk coffee. The reason is because you are on my mind. I'm thinking about you. So if we say we have passion for God, we will think about him. So do we do that? As we are going through the day, is there any thought about God, about the things of God, about the house of God, about the work of God? Is there any thought about it? Perhaps what we have with most of us is, whenever we have our quiet time, it's like that's the time we're thinking about God. Once it's over, there's no thought. Just a one at all. It's like it doesn't exist. Perhaps it's when it's time to go and sleep, that's when the next thought of God will come. Then just pray some funny prayer. Oh God, as I sleep, keep me, preserve me, sustain me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then off you go. That's not what I'm talking about here. Because if we are passionate about him, we will think on him. Can I have an amen from somebody? I know that this sort of teaching makes us feel guilty. And it also makes us feel uneasy. But you see, I'm sharing these things because I had a conviction that God wants me to share. So as I ran through the signs, and there are 10 of them, as I ran through them, mark yourself. For each point, give yourself a maximum of 10 marks. And then find out when we are done that what did you get? What you got should guide and influence you moving forward on what you should be looking for. And even if you got 80%, which I doubt, there is still room for improvement. Because the truth is that you can never get to a place where you can say, I've finished loving God deeply. I've finished thinking about him. I've finished spending time with him. There's nothing like that. But you can see your progression and your advancement and development. And God wants us to check out these things. I'm sorry if I'm sharing a message that doesn't excite you. I'm sorry if I'm sharing a message that makes you feel guilty. And what I'm sharing with you affects me also. Because I know that I can do better in my service to God. I can do better in my love and in my passion for him. And to say, "Kiwa, ekimiso." But God is doing something in each and every one of us. And by the grace of God, we will rise in our level of passion for God.
Did I hear somebody say aloud, amen? Number three, the third sign of our passion for God is that we actually give ourselves to God, the things of God, and to the house of God. We actually give ourselves. Actually. It's not superficial. It's not just on the surface. But we actually give ourselves to God, the things of God, and to the house of God. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Medon, medon, namasomuye, medon, medon, namasomuye, mede makoma, nina be, dobo, wona woye, mekwanchere. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 to 14 from the Bible in basic English version. He says, for the grace of God has come, giving salvation to all men, training us so that turning away from evil and the desires of this world, we may be living wisely and uprightly in the knowledge of God in this present life, looking for the glad hope, the revelation of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says after that. Who gave himself for us? What did he do? He gave himself for us so that he might make us free from all wrongdoing and make for himself a people clean in heart and on fire with good works, so that we'll be on fire for him. Now, Jesus Christ, what he went through in order to save you and I, was he gave himself. And if you don't have passion for what you are doing, you are not likely to give yourself to it. It means he gave his time, he gave his energy, he gave his resources, he gave his very life. So the Bible is saying that he gave himself for us because he was passionate about what he was doing and was passionate about saving us. He wanted to save us, to redeem us, to clean us up, and to set us on fire for the Lord. But it goes with giving himself. And so if we are passionate about God, about the house of God and the things of God, one of the signs we will see is that we give ourselves. That's why we can sing and song and sing a song and say, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Then there's a part that says, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Now that expression, withholding nothing, it means I'm giving it all. So we need to ask ourselves, how much of us have we given to him? To serving him? To working for him? How much of ourselves have we really given to him? Because when you are passionate about somebody, you are passionate about something, you are passionate about a cause, you give yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5. New Living Translation. Paul is recommending the believers in Macedonia. And this is what he says about them. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action. So he was recommending them for their generosity. because they really gave to support him and to support the churches. But Paul noticed something about them. He said their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. Was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. And that's what God wants from us, that we will give ourselves. And all of ourselves means all. It's not like we've only opened part of our lives to God and we've closed up the other parts. It's like this area of my life, don't go there. So there are different doors into our lives. The door into our marriage, the door into our finances, the door into our business, the door into our emotions. And we are saying to God that you can come in here, you can come in here, you can come in here. But as for this room, no access. So that's why he says to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Anytime you hear that scripture, you are thinking of evangelism and outreach. But there is more to it than that. It was a message to the church, to believers. It was not a message to unbelievers. And so there is a possibility to be in Christ, to be a child of God, to be a believer, but you've closed up certain doors to the Lord. But when we give ourselves to him, we open all the doors. Oh, may the Spirit of God help us to open every door into our lives unto the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Number four, the fourth sign that we are passionate about God and the things of God. The fourth sign is that we serve God with enthusiasm and gladness from our hearts. We serve God with excitement and gladness, and it is from our heart. If we are passionate about God and about the things of God, we will serve him. We will work for him. We will do things connected to him with enthusiasm and gladness, and it will be from our heart. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, never be lazy, Romans 12, 11, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. That means with joy, with gladness, and from your heart. It's one of the signs that we are passionate about God. So again, we need to do self-assessment. Whatever you're doing for God in the house of God, is it with gladness? Is it with excitement? Is it from your heart? As you're singing in the choir, is it from here? As you are standing at the back, you are a backing vocalist, is it from your heart? Because sometimes I watch you. Those of you in the voices of restoration. And I can look how detached some of you are from the song that you are singing. What it reveals is that you are not passionate about what you are doing. Because if you were, it can be seen. I told you the other time, I went to visit our churches in the Oti region. And I went to visit somebody who is like a partner to this ministry. And I went to visit her, her husband, and her children. When I was coming, she asked about one particular person. She didn't know her name. She described the person, said that the person is in the choir. And from the description, I immediately knew who it was. And she said to me that the reason why I asked about her is that anytime I see her singing with the choir, there's a certain joy. There's a certain excitement with which she's singing. And it fascinates me. And I want to be her friend. Now, there's not somebody who is leading the song. Because when people are aware that they are leading songs, then their things will come. Then they will lift their hands, do their eyes a certain way, and make some moves. Because the camera is on you, so you must put up your very best. But when the camera is not on you, is there still enthusiasm and zeal and excitement about what you're doing? The truth is that not all of us will have the opportunity to stand in front to lead a song and sing, "Give me oil in my lamp. May my light never be dimmed. Keep me burning until the coming of the King." You may never stand in front here to lead a song, but should it make a difference? From the background, should it make a difference? The answer is no. And that is what passion does. Whether I am obvious or not obvious, whether I am seen or not seen, I'm excited about my God. I'm excited about the things of God. I'm excited about service to God. I have said this many times, and I'll say it again, that in heaven, there'll be a lot of surprises. One of the surprises will be the people that God will be most pleased with. You may find out that the people that God was most pleased with, they never made the front pages of the newspapers. They were never on television. Nobody ever interviewed them. They didn't have large ministries. They didn't have large churches. They may never have written a book. They may never have gone on missionary journeys. But we will discover, and I feel so certain about it, that there are unsung heroes in this whole Christian journey and experience. And the reason why God likes them is not because they won thousands of souls. It's not because they built large churches. It's not because they went on missions. All these things are important and must be done. Don't get me wrong. But the reason for God's affection for them was the quality of their love and the passion that they had for God, for the things of God. And one of the signs, their pure joy and excitement in serving God and doing the work of God. And God sees all those things. I say again to you, there will be surprises. And in Colossians chapter 3 verse 23, it says, "Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily." Work at it heartily. That means from your soul. This is from the Amplified Version. Work at it heartily. As something done for the Lord and not for men. Which is something, and this thing that the Bible is saying, most of us don't do that. Because it says, whatever may be your task, whatever you are doing, even if it is secular, you are working for somebody. The Bible says, do it heartily. From here, it means that with your heart, from your heart. And always tell yourself that what I am doing is unto the Lord and not unto me. So if you are giving, give unto the Lord. Give as unto the Lord and not as unto me. Yes, I know your boss is some way, but as you are working for him, do it as unto the Lord and not unto me. And whatever you are asked to do in the house of God, you are cleaning up, you are opening and closing doors, you are serving water, you are teaching children, whatever you are doing, do it heartily. Psalms 100 verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Everybody say, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. God wants us to serve Him with gladness. The fifth sign, we do not murmur and complain when doing anything in relation to God. That's a sign that we have passion for Him, for the things of God and for the house of God. We do not murmur and complain. No complaining and memory. Why is it that you are coming to church and you are complaining and memory? Why is it that you are doing something in the house of God and you are murmuring and complaining? Why is it that you are giving to support something and you are murmuring and complaining? It's a sign and an indication that there's no passion attached to what you're doing. So in Philippians chapter 2 verse 14, it says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Why are you complaining when your pastor says to you, help us to pay the transportation bill, the busing bill. Help to pay it so that we can reduce the load and the burden on the church. You are complaining. Why are you complaining? Is it not true that 5 days a week you find your way to wherever you are going? Don't you pay the mate? Was there ever a time you called me or Pastor James or any of the pastors that I'm going to Ashama Market? So can you send me 15 Ghana cedis to settle my transportation fare? So why is it that we say, help, pay something to support the bill, and then complain, memory, issues? Can you not see that there's something wrong somewhere? Or if for any reason a bus can't come to get you, you say it means that that Sunday, no church. You are bored. Where is the bus? Where is the bus? Why did the bus not come today? Really? Where is the bus? Does a bus come to pick you from your house to go to Community 4 in Tema when you have to go there? You walk. But when it comes to church, it's like everything has to be presented on a silver platter. There's something very wrong with us. So when you are passionate about God, you don't murmur and complain, but you do everything with gladness and with joy. Number six, when you have passion for God and the things of God, we place great value on the house of God and service to Him. When you have passion for God, for the house of God, for the things of God, you place great value on the house of God and service to Him. That means you value it. You value the house of God. Do you value this place? Do you value this church? Do you value the church that God has made you a member of? Do you value the opportunity you have to do anything for God? Why have you stopped doing certain things? Because you are bored. Did you forget where it was written that whatever you are doing, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men? You are bored with the pastor. You are bored with the assembly head. You are bored with the Osofumami. So because of that, I won't do certain things again. Oh, you don't value it. So when you are passionate for God and the things of God and for the house of God, you place great value on the house of God and service to Him. Psalms 27 verse 4. And please permit me to finish this so that I know that my work is done. Psalms 27 verse 4. New Living Translation. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most. Take note of that. The thing I seek most. It describes passion. is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. So that's what I want. I value it. I cherish it. Just to be in the house of God. To be able to come to his house and just hang around there and meditate on him. I value it. Psalms 84 verse 10. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. I prefer to be a watchman, a security man in the house of God. And I want to say, God bless those who sleep here. Because I have a couple of people who sleep here just to keep an eye on things. One person sleeps here. The other person sleeps in the children's church. Another person sleeps in another room there. And I say, God bless them. Because it's something that not a lot of people would like to do. Yeah. And it can be quite frightening. You're just here sleeping alone. Would you? Hey. Now you must show. It's not an easy thing. God bless them. They are being gatekeepers in the house of the Lord. They may not stand yet to preach the word of God the way I do. They may not stand yet to lead worship as Pastor Elvis does. They may not do any of those things. But what they do, helping to keep the things in the house of God safe, it's highly recommendable. And such things must be done with a certain gladness and cheerfulness and joy from the heart. We place great value on the house of God and service to him. Number 7, we devote considerable resources to God and to his house. That's one of the signs. We devote considerable resources, that means money and whatever we have, we devote them to God and to his house. You cannot tell me that you are passionate about God, the kingdom of God, the house of God, when you do not devote enough of your resources to take care of things in the house of God. Show me somebody who is consistent in his giving, in his tithing, in his support of the things that are done in the house of God, and I'll show you somebody who is passionate about God. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We devote considerable resources to God and to his house. Look at this scripture in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3 to 9. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3 to 9. This is David speaking. He said, "And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving," note this, "all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction." That's considerable resources. How considerable was this? I'll show you. He says, "This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple." Now look at what he gave. This was his own. He says, "I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir." The value of that in today's terms is about $1.8 billion. Yeah, you heard me right. $1.8 billion. That's the value of the gold that he gave. And 262 tons of refined silver. The value of that is $52.5 million. I didn't say Ghana cedis. And even if I had said Ghana cedis, it would still be a lot. Now, this is one person. This is what he's giving. Now, what will drive somebody to give so much love? What? There'll be a certain love and a certain passion for God and the house of God. A certain passion to see the house of God built. So that when they hear that people are helping to build the house of God and people are insulting them, what do you mean? Where Jimmy? Would you see can I come out from for no? Would you see can I come out? I saw for now, Omunye Shena, and one is Womuji. Oh, yes, I know. I know that there's a lot of exploitation that is going on in the kingdom of God. I know. I know. But look at somebody, King David. Is it therefore a surprise that God describes him as a man after his own heart? Because he was passionate about God. When God was looking for a replacement for Saul, he went looking for David, a little shepherd boy, a young boy, perhaps 16, 17 years old, and he selected him to be king over his own heritage, the people of Israel. There's a reason for it. And I submit to you that one of the reasons for that was that David was passionate about God. And you can see it. One clear sign of it is how much he was prepared to give. So how much do you give to support God and the house of God? Or you have joined the mockers and those who are always complaining that the church this, the church that, the church this, the church that. Because if you are passionate about God and the house of God, considerable levels of your resources will go into advancing the kingdom. Once again, I want to say thank you to God for all those who have pumped in a lot of money to bring this church to where it is. It's been just 3 years. Just 3 years. If you know churches, you will know that it takes a long time for churches to work. It's not just about anointing. It's very easy for you to conclude and say, the pastor is not anointed, that's why the church is not growing. The pastor is not called, that's why the church is not growing. That's not all there is to it. There's a certain grace for building a church. If you don't have it, it will not work. And where we are, what we've been able to do, nobody should attempt to give me credit for it. Number one is by the grace of God. But one of the things that the grace of God has done is that he has touched the hearts of people. I'm amazed at what certain people have done to bring this church to where it is. And these are people that when you look at them, you may not imagine that they'll be able to give so much to support what we are doing. The other day, I heard some ignorant people were saying that, it's all right, let me not go into them before I move into another thing. I said, the main people who have helped to bring us to this place, every one of you have contributed. Every one of you. It's the little and the much put together that has brought us here. I do not discount everybody's contribution. It's all helped. But there are some contributions that are not worthy. And you can see the sacrificial element to the giving. There are times when monies have been brought to me, given to me in cash to help to do things. I have no idea. You can talk to the project manager and you tell you of the struggle sometimes to get things done. But God has always made the way where there seems to be no way. Yeah. I've had people who are not exactly members, but they are like friends and partners. They will bring things. Bring sand, bring stones. I have no idea. But why would somebody invest so much in building the house of God? Has the person finished building his or her own house? Sometimes not. But there's a certain love for God, love for the people of God, love for the things of God that will make the person do this. And that is the extent to which David could go. And you see, as you read on, that the other people also contributed. The next one, I have a strong desire to build God's house. If you have a strong desire to build God's house, it's a sign that you have passion for Him. Number nine, the ninth sign is you defend God and the things of God. You are prepared to defend God and the things of God. It's a sign that you are passionate about God. How come that when people are sitting in your office and they are saying rubbish about God and the house of God, you don't rise to the defense of God? Why? Why is it that the people at your workplace, they don't know that you are Krife? And the day they discover it, they are shocked to the marrow. Because there was nothing about you that showed that this person is really into God and the things of God. If you are passionate about God, you are ready to defend Him, defend His house, defend His servants. I'm not asking you to go and fight foolish fights. Because there are some of the fights, they are very foolish. Stay away from it. But there are times when you must not let certain things pass. There's a branch of theology called apologetics that has to do with the defense of the gospel. And every one of us must get to a place where we can defend God, defend the house of God, and defend the things of God. And the last one, you help to correct what is wrong. If you are passionate about God, you help to correct what is wrong. What is wrong with the church? You help to correct it. You are not satisfied to see that things are not going well, and you just sit back and watch things getting spoiled. You correct it. You notice certain behaviors that are not good. You use wisdom, guided by the Holy Spirit, to correct those things. You can see that somebody's breast is flying all over the place. You should be able to call the person to the side and say, "Sister." What must you say to the person? "Sister." I said, "What must you say to the person again?" "Sister." Adie adjusting a kakra. Even go and buy safety pin to help the person. Or you can see that people are messing the church up. And your response is, "Amen, amen, kokani embedi di miyate, amen, kokani biya." Because people are not supposed to eat here. Isn't that people eat and drop things, drop bottles and do all of those things? When you see those things, you must be able to correct them. Or anything that is bringing the house of God into disrepute. Your passion for God and for His house should make you address it. Not in a confrontational way. Not in a quarrelsome way. But with a lot of tact. Look into yourself also, lest you are also overtaken. So these are the signs that we are passionate about God and passionate about the things of God. So that ends the series on passion for God and for His house. And today is Communion Sunday, and we're going to have communion. But I want us to pray. Rise to your feet and let's pray before. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And usually the first Sunday of the month is extended because of the communion. So please bear with us. This is Jesus. This is actually John the Baptist speaking and testifying about Jesus. He says, "I, John, baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals." He was referring to Jesus. Then the next thing he says is noteworthy. He says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, if we allow Him, is to kindle a fire inside of us. And that fire speaks of warmth. It speaks of passion. It speaks of zeal. It speaks of enthusiasm. This morning, I want you to pray for yourself and say, Father, pour out your spirit afresh upon me and stir up that passion in my heart for you, for the house of God, and for the things of God. I want to say to him, Father, I can see that I am not on fire for you. I can see that my level of passion for you is very low. But it cannot be right. You want more from me than I am giving. But if you don't help me, I can't do this. So Father, let your spirit stir up that fire and that passion inside of me for you, for your house, for the things of God, for the work of God, for anything and everything related to you. It's a good prayer to pray. And as a sign of surrender, lift up your hands to the Lord and begin to pray for yourself. Listen, close your eyes and focus on Him. Now, ondari eja kresibi ewa wakumemu. Ejebi ebema waye she amanyami. Wenya opesrun kubi amanyami nifie ne juma ni bibia. Lift up your voice to the Lord and pray right now and cry out to the Lord. Say, Father, stir up that fire in me. Holy Spirit, I need you. Stir up that fire in my heart. In the name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord right now. Pray for that fire. Pray for that fire. Perhaps your fire is died down. You are running out of oil. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Pray like the choir sang. Give me oil in my lamp. Let my light never be dimmed. Keep me burning. Pray and cry out to the Lord for that fire to be stirred up. In the name of Jesus. Roda de 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 broko satiyada balama shosete de lebe. Rakatayara balama zobode. Breba tayara balama zomode amane de lebe. Tell him I want to have passion. I know that I don't have enough of it. I can see it. It shows in how I serve you. It shows in how I work for you. It shows in my attitude towards you. It shows in how much I give. Something is not the way it is supposed to be. The passion is missing. Stir it up, Lord. 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 Stir up that fire in the name of Jesus. Burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Rain on me. Rain on me. Pour your power and your fire into my heart and into my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Tell him I don't like the way I am. I am too cold. I'm too laid back. I am too reserved. Where you are concerned. Other things excite me. Other things turn me on. Other people stir me up. But I don't feel that way about you. I don't show that about the things of God, about the house of God. I pray, Father, today, stir up something new. Stir up a new fire in my heart. In the name of Jesus. Let your fire burn. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let it burn in my heart. Let it burn in my heart. Let that fire burn. 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 Katayana balababa somode. Fire. 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 Keep me burning. Keep me burning. The embers that are dying. Fan them. Fan them. Fan them. Fan them. Fan those embers. Let the fire burn. Ayaya.
Let the fire burn. Let it burn. I am too laid back, too lethargic, too apathetic where you are concerned. I know it. I admit it. But do something new. Do something new in my heart. Do something new in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Baba Lobo Lebeo. Rakachaya Rababa Sebe. Rakachaya Rababa Sebe. Rakachaya Rababa Sebe. We thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, maybe somebody invited you to service today. You've been blessed. But for you, one thing is clear. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've not given your heart to Him. You've not opened your heart up to Him. My question to you today is, what are you doing? How long are you going to wait? He says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And I want to pray with you. Perhaps you're even watching us online. Maybe you stumbled upon this channel by accident. But right where you are, God can see you. And He's stirring up something in your heart. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand very clearly as I pray for you in the name of Jesus? God bless you. Lift up that hand very clearly. In your room, lift that hand up as we pray. God bless you. I see your hands, my friends. I see your hands. Keep them up. Keep them up. It's between you and your God. Don't let anybody or anything stop you from stepping into a new life promised to all those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, and let everybody join in the prayer, including those who have lifted up their hands in their rooms where they are. Everybody pray this prayer with me and say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve Him and I'll follow Him. Oh God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make my life brand new. Set me on fire for the Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.